friends. Welcome to the Voices of MCC. Our hope here is that you'll be encouraged in your faith as you hear how MCC beliefs and practices are fleshed out in the daily lives of the members of our fellowship. So happy today to have Ryan Thompson and Philip Parker on the Voices of MCC podcast, coaches and friends, great members of MCC. And this is a podcast I've been looking forward to for a few weeks since we began to work with this idea and thinking about coaching. And I've had the privilege of walking with Philip and Ryan over the years, and the privilege of learning about sports. I love sports, and Philip coaches basketball at Spurgeon College, and Ryan coaches baseball at Mid-American Nazarene. And I've gotten to hear from them in a private kind of way, and I'm excited for this to be more public. And I've also gotten to appreciate the work of being a coach, because I know what these guys do, and it's more than showing up on game day in cool clothes and either yelling or giving signs or looking cool or directing things. There's so much work that a college coach does behind the scenes, really multitasking. So I'm happy for folks to get to hear sort of from you all and open up the hood a bit. So I want to begin, guys, just your connections with MCC. Ryan, let's start with you. Tell us how the Lord brought you to MCC and your participation.
Yeah, 2009, I believe it was, Christy and I began to, we had moved to Kansas City from Colorado and took the position here at MNU. And we were just looking for a church that was, we just wanted to grow in our understanding of the Bible and felt the desire to find a church that fit with that and from the Reformed perspective. And so we visited a few churches and found MCC and connected, and it's just been a great experience for us, and we've grown so much in our faith and our time there. And man, it's just been life-changing for us and our family.
And it's been so fun to have you as a friend these 10 plus years, and both love sports. We get to talk about that and have larger families and kids to connect with, and culture and scripture. And so grateful for you. Philip, how about you? Tell those at MCC who don't know how long you've been here, how you got connected.
Yeah, so I think it was the fall of 2015, I believe, my second year of college, and had that first year had visited lots of churches and kind of I did my rounds, you know, kind of as coming from a small town, you know, wanting something really cool and exciting,
really, and of course, MCC,
and then, cool and exciting.
That's our
Pastor
mantra
Adam
right there.
Jamming out up front, you know, I was looking for like the lights and wanted, you know, the show, and that's kind of what coming from a church that, you know, wasn't like that. That's kind of what I thought was cool, and so kind of went to some of those and just realized that there's not much there, and had visited Masters a couple times, obviously, because my sister Becca was a member there for a while before me, and had visited a couple times and really was just, you know, impressed with the structure and the level of organization. And I think for the first time, and I don't say this just because you're on here, but the first time somebody actually asked to meet with me from a church, and that was you, Pastor Todd, and so that really impacted me a lot, and so kind of God just really opened my eyes to see the importance of Masters in particular, and how things were or how He's working there, and things were different than a lot of other places. And And so, yeah, started going and became a member, I don't actually know, when, a year and a half, 2 years later, I think.
Yeah, I remember that. And as a college student, serious about church commitments, and obviously your older sister, a part of MCC, and it's hard to think that I've only known you for about 5 years, because I feel like, you know, you're a little brother in some ways. I've known you all my life, but Western Nebraska.
You feel like it's been longer than that, huh?
Family, I do. Yeah, which is, but take that as a good. It's a good thing. Okay. So yes, let's talk about coaching. Philip, let's start with you here. When did you sense that the Lord would have you to be a coach? When was that time where there was just a spark and this was, I think the Lord has me to do this?
Yeah, so it was, I can't remember if it was my eighth grade or ninth grade year, but I had this memory of, like a distinct memory for some reason, and it might not even be close to the actual thing, but I was walking to school and I was like, I want to coach basketball. Mm-hmm. And at that time, you know, I think I was a believer, but I think was either, you know, going into high school or just started high school, and really loved the idea of being a coach and of being involved in sports, you know, so originally wanted to be a teacher, to teach in high school and coach in high school. And, you know, just as I went through high school, had some really good coaches that impacted me a lot. Had one, a football coach, I learned a lot of leadership and motivation things from. Had a basketball coach who just really had a love for the game, and he shared that with me. And just one of the guys that I could, you know, just sit in his classroom and he just teach me basketball, and we just talk about basketball. And that was a big impact for me. And then it really just kind of, it changed a lot as I got into college and saw somebody who's passionate about the Lord for the first time coach basketball, and somebody who's passionate first and foremost about helping young men be more Christ-like men. Learned a lot from him, and then had another coach come in and learn, you know, a lot of the tactical side of basketball. And really, God just opened so many doors in leading me in this path, and just opening pretty obvious things, because I need pretty obvious doors to walk through, or else I'll miss them. But, you know, having friends a boss say, you need to coach, like that was a big, you know, indicator for me. This job God providing for me. And so it's kind of been, a desire I've had for a long time, and something that God's just been really kind to me and gracious in providing opportunities to learn and incredible people to learn under. Mm.
So fun to think about the Lord's providence and opening doors and people coaching you along the way and leading you. Yeah, fun to think about. Ryan, how about you? When was that moment where you thought, you know, I think this is what God would have me to do. I want to do this for my life if I can.
Yeah, I think it started for me, Todd, with like just a strong passion to play baseball. Always had it. I grew up with a dad who didn't like sports, so it was something that the Lord put in me. It wasn't something that you see so much where parents are pushing you to do this. It's your deal, and it was just in me, and I just loved playing baseball, and I think sports in general, but as a young boy, I had that perspective now looking back. I can see those things, didn't necessarily recognize them at the time, but like Philip mentioned, I just had the best coaches growing up. I had, starting with fourth, fifth, sixth grade basketball, I had just an unbelievable coach. And then that went into high school. I had great coaches and different personalities, but just that made an impression on me. And so I think then when I got to college, I had the opportunity to play for Sam Riggleman, who was just a great coach and led me to Christ. And so that's when I became a Christian, was playing for him. And I just wanted to be like him. I think initially I'm like, wow, that I could see it, see what a Christian coach looked like, how you could compete and push your players, but still love them and care for them and that balance. And it was just, that was probably the moment I realized I want to do this. Before, I just wanted to play as long as I could possibly play. But after my playing career ended, then just through conversations with him and like Phillips, that opportunities just began to present themselves that I wasn't necessarily seeking. After an injury, I was offered to coach because that's all I could really do at that point. And so that led into a pitching coach. That's where I started at a school in Indiana, and then continued with that coach to a Division I school in Colorado, and just kept moving, and opportunities just kept opening up until ultimately I ended up here. And but I think looking back, I can just see the Lord working when I was young, just putting that desire in me. And I can remember sitting in school, writing out lineups and drawing up plays. That's one of the things I remember from when I was young. And that's, I could see that it was in me from a young age.
That's so fun. And again, same as Philip, God putting people in your life to shepherd that along and give you a vision for it. And then the Lord opening up opportunities. And Ryan, you've been at MNU now 11 years. Is that right?
I started in 2007. So I'm going on my 14th season.
14th year. Like in coach years, that's like 50 years. I mean, coaching careers are kind of like dog years, isn't it? I mean, you count it like a lot longer because it's a revolving door.
Yes.
We're talking about that earlier. We're in the season right now of coaches getting fired and hired in football, both college and the NFL. And so been there a long time. That's a lot of influence. And I know the players have been impacted by it. It's fun to think about that. One of the things that we've talked about over the years is that coaching is a unique profession in the sense that the latest game, win, lose, draw, how the team performed, how you felt you performed as a coach, can easily become who you are as a coach, as a person, for the next few days until the next game. In athletics, it's true as an athlete, but it's true as a coach, I think maybe even more so, and people don't realize that. But as a head coach, how your team just performed is how you feel about yourself. And sometimes, even as a Christian, we can think this is how God thinks about me. God grades me based upon my team's most recent game, win or loss. Ryan, how do you deal with that? It's a unique feature of a profession. Most professions aren't like that. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's a constant battle, just trying not to get your identity wrapped up in success and failure. I think a couple things, I can think of times that we've had great successes and times that we haven't. And often in baseball, you're playing again the next day. But I can just think of times of, you know, reading the word and just helping me keep perspective. I think just, you know, we play Friday, Saturday, and often your mind can be still wrapped up in that. And just so many times I've left church on Sunday with a refreshed perspective on what I'm doing, why I'm doing it. So I think local church, I think just the Bible, I think prayer. It's such an encouragement, you know, Christy, so many times I'll leave the house and she'll be, I'm praying for your day. And just those types of things help me to keep perspective on that. Ultimately, my identity is not in this, it's in Christ. But it's a constant just battle to fight that. But I think those are some of the ways that over the years, and I think just trusting the Lord to provide what I need. You know, I've been fortunate enough to be here 14 years, and I can trust him to provide the success I need to continue in this position, and just letting my kind of heart rest in that as well, that he'll take care of me, that it's not all up to me, and my identity's not in this.
Mm. Philip, how about you? You're a younger coach, just in your second season now as a head coach, and in a new program where you're having to lay the foundation. And many people say, "Oh, the expectations aren't very high," but that's not true. You put expectations on yourself. Anytime someone competes, they want to win. No one likes to be on the lower end of the scoreboard. How do you fight that?
Yeah, and I do think it is a little bit different, just because I am younger and and we haven't really experienced winning success yet. Like we've won one game, you know. If you looked at my record as a coach, you'd laugh, you know. And so I think it is a little bit different just from the perspective side. I know early on, especially somewhat last year's a little bit different. And even this year, there's some games that are more discouraging than others. And I think kind of just to go on with what Ryan said, to kind of echo that, really, you just have to have, you have to keep your perspective of why we're doing this. And I can't even think of the amount of times that, you know, we would lose on a Saturday and I'd go to church and I would be reminded of why I'm doing this. And if my identity is based on winning and losing, you know, your attitude changes all the time and you're inconsistent. And so having this constant perspective of the reason I'm doing this, is not necessarily for wins. Yeah, we want to win and that's a goal, but, really being able to step back, has helped me a lot. And I say it's different because, you know, we've essentially only experienced losing so far. And so the lows aren't quite as low when you're always in the bottom. But yeah, that's really what I think has kind of been my go-to is just looking big picture and looking, at what God is doing, regardless of what our record looks like.
Yeah, I just appreciate you both and your perspectives, and I know how much you value the players and relationships and mentoring them and helping them to see the big picture. Let's talk about that for just a moment here. In our culture, sports and your college coaches, sports at the college level can be an idol for players, that's what life's really about, even at a Christian school, that what really gets these guys going is game day, an opportunity to get out. And some of that's because that's the way God made them. They're great athletes. You don't play in college, even at a smaller school, even at a newer program. You don't play unless, you know, you want to and you're pretty good. And I know, Ryan, you've had players get drafted to major leagues, play in the minors, get some accolades. And this kind of a concern probably comes into your mind. How do you help guys fight idolatry of sports in your own programs?
Yeah, I think we get players from all different backgrounds, and we've, at MNU get players who are believers and we get players who've never been in church. So we get a wide variety. I think it first starts with the coach. I think, just our lives and the way we're modeling that in front of them. I think we pray a lot, before and after games and after successes and losses, and just helping them focus that, God is real and this is about Him. And this is, we're playing in a way to honor Him. And we want to, treat our teammates, we want to love our teammates. We want to treat the other team with respect, just ultimately just remembering this isn't just about us. So there's something bigger here. I think consistently, praying for them. I think the big thing is just getting them to think outside of themselves. And often when it becomes an idol, it's about me and what I can get from it, and trying to help them to think bigger, and that how can you make your teammates better around you? When you step on the field and you're competing, we want to compete in a way that honors God and doesn't dishonor Him in any way. We want to treat people with respect and umpires with respect. We want to respond well in adversity and all those things, just helping them keep perspective too. And I think those are some key themes we try to think about. But again, it is. And sometimes you're recruiting players who it is their whole world. And you have to deal with that on kind of a case-by-case situation and as needs arise. And sometimes they have great successes, and there's some years that they just fail and they just can't get it right. And you're trying to help them through both of those peaks and valleys just to keep perspective on that. It's not sports don't go well when they're your idol. You know, it can crush you. It can be a peaks and valleys, and like Philip mentioned, your identity can get all wrapped up in that. So just trying to help them navigate that and just speak truth and into their lives when opportunity presents itself, to help remind them that they can trust God. And you know, when you're meeting with them individually, if it's praying for them, if they're struggling in a certain area, just those types of things.
Philip, how about you? Thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, just like I wholeheartedly agree. The teams act like they're coaches, and you can see it, you know, on TV. You know, if a coach is loud and arrogant and complaining about everything, the team tends to do that too. And so I think it's the same thing. If a coach idolizes his job and that sport, the team is going to. And so it really, in a lot of ways, it starts with me. As you know, as much as I hate that, you know, as much as I don't think it should, it does. And so, you know, if I'm, you know, I have right priorities and I show guys specifically that I care about them more than I care about putting the practice plan together for that day, which I've done many times. You know, I fail at that. But really just showing them, you know, that this game is great, but it's not everything. And then kind of the other thing, I think, you know, idolatry is a sin issue. And for me, at least, like I deal with, you know, most of our guys are believers. And so it's kind of it's kind of nice because God tends to deal with those things himself. And I've seen so many guys that, you know, that basketball is their world, and they tear their ACL. Or something terrible happens and it's taken away. And so really, I think a lot of what we have to do is kind of, I think Ryan said this too, use those opportunities to walk with them through that. You know, when they get injured, like everybody does, don't waste that injury, you know, remind them, hey, this is awful. But remember what's important. It's not your sport, you know. I think as a coach, that's the hardest thing for me is to use bad behavior and use bad circumstances to help mold. But I think that's, you know, that's what I need to be doing and probably the most effective way for discipleship in this context.
So encouraged by your comments, guys. Philip, what a great statement. Don't waste your injury. That's a Christian coach. This is God's providence. And how's he going to grow you in it? How can you make the team better on the sideline? You know, these kinds of questions. And I just appreciate both of you guys. I've watched you coach in games. And Philip, I think I'm louder than you in the Spurgeon gym when I cheer.
I think so too.
You're all just managing the game. I'm trying to cheer. Let me be clear. I'm not yelling at the refs. MCC. I'm not screaming. I'm yelling for the players to play hard and enjoy. But it's great to see your demeanor and the effect. I just want to encourage you guys. I know that there are countless men and families who are affected by your leadership. There's no doubt that you have such an influence on young men who will lead families, who will lead communities, and sports is such a strategic place in our society, and I appreciate your influence there. Okay, quick speed round here before we wrap things up. Philip, LeBron or Jordan?
Oh, Jordan.
Jordan, okay. Ryan, Greg Maddux or Nolan Ryan?
Greg Maddux.
Okay. All right. Philip, Chick-fil-A or Popeyes?
Ooh, I think I have to say Chick-fil-A because I'm Christian. Isn't that how it goes?
Love it. Ryan, you, Chick-fil-A or Popeyes?
Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A. It's easy. All right. Well, guys, thanks for this time. It is a blessing. You're a blessing to MCC. And I know that MCC prays for you and your leadership there. And what you do is legitimate ministry. It is kingdom work, and we're grateful for it. And I look forward to just seeing your continued growth and success in your teams and programs. And again, thanks for hanging out with us, friends, on Voices of MCC podcast. Continue to tune in here as we hear from folks of MCC to encourage those in MCC and outside. All the best to you.